Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back again, WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Here we are on a Wednesday. Ike, how you feeling?
Oh, you in on the Wednesday?
Why not?
Wow.
This is not a threat to me anymore.
All right, Spike.
Well, he was never a threat to you.
Yeah, he was only here to aid you, man.
He wasn't really a threat to anybody, to be quite honest with you.
All right.
All right.
Well, besides geese.
Yes. Jackie Baseball over there. Holla at your boy.
How we doing?
How are you doing?
Wednesday's a beautiful day outside.
Oh.
Late October, and you wouldn't even know.
Shorts are back on the office, baby.
Nah, you should never wear shorts in the office, Jack. All right.
What's up, brother?
Well, big show as always, mm-hmm. right? We have the return of Flyers in 50, mm-hmm. which will now be Flyers in 44. That's coming up at 3:30. Baldy joins us at 4, like he always does. The updated Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings come at 4:30. Unfortunately, I think we have to start with the Sixers again.
Ooh, boy.
Yeah, I know. And wasn't planning on starting with it yesterday, wasn't planning on starting with it today, but it does seem like 24 hours later, nobody is any less angry than they were yesterday. In fact, it seems like everybody is a little more angry. Here's where I am.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I get it. I get the frustration. I get the year after year after year, it's just another thing, and the team is lying, and the player is hurt, and he quit there, and this, that, and the other, and why is there so much nonsense, and why don't we know if he's going to play until the day of or the day before? It is exhausting. It is sort of at the point where I feel like people just want to give up. Just don't want to do it anymore. They don't want to do the Joel Embiid thing anymore. The anger is at such a level that I honestly can't remember the last time that I saw a team that had this constant amount of anger at them almost all the time.
Yeah.
Here's where I am with it. And I'll try to explain personally why I'm not there is that I just want to see the Embiid era through. I just want to get to the end of it and give it a chance to happen, however small that chance might be. He's been here for a decade, 10 years. We drafted him when he was like a teenager, basically,
yep.
right?
Yep.
And he has been through a lot, and I'm not asking for the sad violins here or whatever, but as we've been through a lot of stuff cheering for him, mm-hmm. he's been through a lot of things as well, right? He had the broken foot. He had the second broken foot. He had the broken back. His brother, unfortunately, passed away at a very young age. He got married. He had a kid. He had his face broken. He went through the Ben Simmons thing with us. He went through the Markelle Fultz thing mm-hmm. with us, all of those things, and yet he is still here and still one of the best four or five players in all of the NBA. And because he's been through, and we've been through almost MVPs, and another almost MVP, and then an actual MVP, and then a failure in the playoffs, too many of them to count.
Yeah.
And I'm just at the point where it feels like people are ready to give up. I can't. I would rather go through the next two or three years, whatever it is, mm-hmm. and see if it works with all of the hassle, with all of the annoying injury hassle, with all of the annoying team stuff, with all of that stuff, I just want to get to the end of it and say it either worked or it didn't. He either got there or he didn't, because he is one of the best players I've ever seen in any sport in this city. Talent-wise, at his best, mm-hmm. there are not very many players in the history of this city who are at the level that he is. And that's just a fact.
I agree with you on that.
And he's not as accomplished as a lot of the other
just
players.
Just talking about talent.
But just talent, when he is as good as he is as good as I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that he's been through so much, and we've been through so much, and he's still here, I just want, for the next 3 years, I will go through all of this nonsense, as frustrating as it is, just to give it a chance to see if it works. And I know people will say, well, it's not going to work. And that's probably true. But the small chance that it does work, to me, is worth the pain of the next few years and the frustration that we will inevitably face. I just want to see it through with Joel. And that's where I am with all of it, though I understand the frustration.
Yeah. You know, last year's postseason, I had my meltdown after that game with the whole 6-foot guard stuff and everything. Yep. So, you know, I certainly was at my wit's end there. But I love watching this dude play basketball so much that it's easy for it to get drawn back in. You know, especially when he's on the court and he's doing his thing and he's looking good. How could you not just be enthralled with everything he's doing out there? This is a 7'2" wonder. Like, this isn't some 6'5" wingman that comes around every 2 to 3 years that shows you remarkable athletic ability. We're talking about a man his size being able to do the things he does. You're talking about a combination of Hakeem Olajuwon, David Robinson, all these type of big men that were athletic, that could play from the outside, that weren't necessarily back to the basket type of players. That's all they had was post, low post moves. This dude fits in today's game from the standpoint his skill set allows him to be effective. All of that being said, I do understand where everybody's frustration is coming from and the disappointment of him not playing in the first game. I'm pretty much in the same camp as you. It's like, we've tried everything else. They could have handled this better, and this could have been more transparent as far as what was going to happen with him sooner, so all these questions wouldn't be out there about his health and this and that and the other. But ultimately, we all know what happens in the second half of the season, in the spring, hopefully into the summer, is what really matters and what he's really going to be judged on. That's all that matters to us as basketball. Yeah, it'd be great to see him. He's never going to play 60, 70, 80 games. So we can get that out of our head. We all understand that. But to want him to be at his best the second half of the season to head into the postseason, and they're trying it a different way, I got to be open to that because I feel like they've tried the other stuff and it has not worked. I have not seen this formula put to test by the Sixers, so why not see what it brings us? Again, yes, it's disappointing that he's not on the court. Paul George got hurt last week. I get it. But if we're talking about the only thing that matters is winning a championship, him playing as many games as possible is not conducive to us winning a championship.
Might be for some players, but not for him.
And that's how we got to look at it.
Yeah.
This is specifically to him, and that's why. Listen, I love both Charles and Shaq. I thought they were being a little unfair last night with the critics. I understand they may have the right intentions there. They want to try to push him to play, but what they're not taking into to consideration is his injury history. They're looking at the right now. They're looking at why you played in the Olympics. You had enough time to get ready for now. Like, they're looking at it in a vacuum right now, not what he's gone through already and why the Sixers and he are doing this the way they're doing it right now. Again, it's frustrating, but I don't know what else to do now. Like, all I can do is be like, okay, I hope this works. I hope this works.
That's all I can do. Yeah. 215-592-9494. Do you want to see the Embiid thing through, or did you just want to give up?
I didn't answer that. Yes.
You want to see it through.
Are you kidding me? Yes. Until he can't play anymore?
That's what I want.
Yes.
And here's the last thing I'll say on it, and I know that everyone has their players,
mm-hmm.
right? Jack with Bryce. You know, some people with Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
I feel not me. Well, it's not you.
You didn't give it to me either.
Well, that's true. You're Carson.
Yeah.
Well, you did.
Well,
you know?
Yes. So that's over with now.
It doesn't always.
The Jalen group's dwindling by the day.
I guess what I would say is I feel emotionally invested in his success. For me,
okay.
And I'm not speaking for anybody else
right.
here. it's as much about Joel Embiid succeeding as it is the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah.
Right now, for me. I want to see it through in the same way. It's not entirely different than a rocky relationship that you're in. And if you're in a relationship with somebody that you love, that you don't want this, you don't want to look back on it and say, well, if I had just given it this try or done this. So I am so emotionally invested in his success that I can't give up. Like, I need the next 3 years, even if it fails. Even if it goes up in flames, I can at least say there was an ending to it. There was a beginning, there was a middle, and there was an end. And I need to give it that chance to see it through. I understand the people who can't do it anymore, though I don't know that there's a better plan, you know, outside of this. But for me, I just need to see it through. So do you want to see through the Embiid era, or are you ready to give up? 215-592-9494. Jack, where are you on this?
I can't wait for a rebuild. I think Joel Embiid's great. I think we know where this is going. We most likely know where it's going. And while it's going to be cool watching Paul George and cool watching Joel Embiid, listen, my biggest fear now is, what version of Joel Embiid are we getting? Is this a 40? We saw Joel Embiid last year average more points than minutes played, right?
Yeah.
But then he got hurt again and didn't look the same. Now, he was still good in the 50-point game in the Knicks series, but he also got tired in the fourth quarters of those games. And then he went to the Olympics, kind of the same thing. So, like, my fear is this the version of Joel Embiid that we're going to get going forward? Like, I don't think that this is going to end in a championship. I don't think it's going to end in glory. They're great players, but I'm ready for something new. Do I think that Tyrese Maxey can be the best player on a championship team? Absolutely not. I think they would need someone else. But I'm ready for new hope. Rather than seeing the same thing over and over again.
You're done with this.
Well,
yeah.
I get it, but I think that the thing that you need to remember is that the something new is only new for a minute, and then it's just something.
And then it's something. Not new anymore,
Then it's just something, right? And we learn that every time we yearn for a backup quarterback, and then we see him, and we're like, you know, unless it's Nick Foles, it's it's the sometimes the thing that you don't know is only attractive until you know it, you know. So I understand that, but then I always come to when somebody's like, "Well, I just want something new." I come to, okay, well then what? And then are we just? I remember the 10 years before Joel with no hope, zero hope. The only hope we had was one season when the entire Chicago Bulls roster got injured during the playoffs, and that only got us one run. By the way, that team didn't even get further than this team did.
We're still second round.
So before we get to the phone, we do have a next question today.
What we got?
Okay, so we have a 4-pack of tickets to the Brotherly Love Card Show Philly this Saturday.
Hey.
And a meet and greet autograph session with Ike Reese.
Talk about it. Talk about it.
It's at the PA Convention Center in Philly. So
whatever happened to Ike Reese?
So we lost an all-time athlete today in Fernando Valenzuela. And if you are the age of Ike or I, or maybe older, maybe probably not any younger, you remember the sensation that was Fernando Valenzuela.
Yes,
I mean, it was everything
Fernando-mania
for a minute there.
Yeah.
So for today's next question, for those tickets, we're going to ask you who had a short but very high peak, who burned very brightly but didn't burn for very long. So we'll
sports
ask
or
you,
non-sports, by the way.
It's sports or non-sports. In fact, I have a non-sports one. Jack, what is yours?
Nick Foles.
Yeah, come on, wait.
10 years, brother.
10 years of what?
The 27-2 and the Super Bowl were like 6 years away.
Great answer, Jack.
Oh.
Great answer, Fritzy.
It's the best answer.
Okay. All right, it's a good answer.
Super Bowl MVP never started a whole 16 games for this
game. Never started 16 games.
No, he hasn't. Yeah,
that's a good answer.
He is an interesting one. I would say he's like I don't want to give this other person. Why don't you give yours?
Well, let me ask you. Did that Dodgers team win the title? They didn't win the title with Fernando, right? They got to the World Series.
Yeah, I don't
Unless
think
he was
they
on
won.
The 88 team.
No, he was
no,
not,
he
on,
was
the
not on the 88 team.
No.
Yeah, yeah. So they didn't win it yet. He just got there.
Got there. Yeah.
Man, it's so many. I don't want to take them. You know what? In honor of playing the Bengals this weekend, you know who I'm going to go with?
Who?
Icky Woods.
Icky Shuffle.
Icky Shuffle, man.
Icky Shuffle.
Yeah, he had 1 year, I believe. I think he had maybe two. I think it was really just the 1 year.
But it was a phenomenon.
It was a phenomenon, and the Icky Shuffle dance became a national craze. Then he got injured, I believe, the next year at some point, and he was never Icky Woods again. So yeah, that was a crazy, that was a craze right there.
Oh, it was every network NFL show you saw was the Icky Shuffle. Everybody knew it. You were a kid, you knew Icky Shuffle. Mm-hmm. All right, so I'm going non-sports, and I had a long list of musicians, yeah. Long list of actors, but I decided to go actor. I'm going Macaulay Culkin. Macaulay Culkin in Home Alone and Home Alone 2 was a sensation.
Yeah.
And then you don't really hear about Macaulay Culkin ever again. He had a couple of movies in there, but that was it. But he was,
didn't
as
he
a child.
Did he try to do like a thriller movie? Was he like, was
he was in, was he in the, he was in the My Girl, the movie where the little girl dies. Or okay. He dies.
I'm thinking of one.
One of them dies.
I thought he was. I don't know if that's the one I'm thinking of. I thought he. Maybe I'm thinking of another kid actor.
Okay.
That somehow tried to become. He became like a little demon kid. He started killing people.
Oh, I don't think Macaulay Culkin.
That wasn't Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah,
okay.
Maybe he did. But yeah. So mine's Macaulay Culkin. Yeah. All right. So do you want to see the Embiid era through, or do you want to give up? And for next question today, who had a very short but very, very high peak? 215-592-9494. Tasty Cake Dom leads us off. What's up?
Hi, Spike. Hey, Ike.
What up, Tasty Kate?
Spike, I listened to you guys all day yesterday, and I listened to opening. Of course you got to ride with Embiid. You don't really have any other choice. But, man, being a Sixers fan is so exasperating and so hard because there's always stipulations to being a fan. You just can't love them.
It's tough.
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, certainly. I mean, certainly, if you do love them, boy, you better be ready for a rocky relationship.
Right, I'm 60 years old. They won the championship my senior year of high school. They haven't won a trade in 40 years, Spike. They haven't won a trade in 40 years. They got snookered every single time in 40 years.
Well, that's not true.
Give me one.
Well, I mean, they ended up with Tyrese Maxey after trading Markel Fultz. They won that trade. They got three first-round picks for essentially cap space when Hinkie was here with the Nick Stauskas trade. They've certainly won some trades.
You can't say that they won any of those trades
because
they didn't get better. The winning a trade is progressing. They never got out of the second round yet. Until they get out of the second round, they did not win a trade because they're the same.
How is trading Markel Fultz for Tyrese Maxey not winning a trade? They won the trade.
Well,
okay.
How is it? Because did they progress into the second round?
They won the trade.
It's not winning a trade.
They won the trade.
Do you do a trade to make your team better and progress?
They won
Am I out of my mind?
Spike, they've never won a trade.
He's saying they haven't won a trade because they haven't progressed any further than they already were.
Yeah,
is basically what he's saying.
Yeah, you know, they end up getting two first-round picks for James Harden, which won trades.
If you're still in the same position,
but you can win a battle and lose a war. And they haven't won the war. I'm with you on that. I do think they've won trades though. They've won trades.
And
go ahead.
Okay.
No, go ahead. What are you gonna say?
I'm just saying, as a guy that's an older guy. Some of their bungles stay with, like, I feel bad for Daryl Morey and Embiid Way, because a guy like me that's 60 that has endured some of the most ridiculous, you know, the Bynum thing and trading Roy Henson for Brad Daugherty. I mean, bungles that set the franchise back. You're supposed to have Brad Daugherty and Charles Barkley next to each other for 10 years, and let's play those bulls.
Yeah, I mean, Morey did walk into the Tobias Harris, not a great trade. You know, that wasn't a winner.
Well, hold on. That wasn't Tobias, man. Come on, man.
They traded three first-round picks, and they gave him a five-year max.
Yeah, come on.
Okay, that was a little much.
Right.
Yeah, that was a little much.
All right.
I didn't realize they gave up three first-round picks Tobias.
Three first, yeah.
Man.
Yeah. For a half a season of him, by the way. He was on an expiring contract.
Okay.
Yeah.
We can chalk up as a loss right there. Yeah, yeah. We can chalk that up.
They won the Jimmy Butler first trade, right? Sarge and Covington?
Yeah, but then you lost him. You had him for 3 months, you know? So I don't He's a better player than those two guys are.
But he's right, but we didn't have him.
We didn't get to keep him. We got to keep Tobias, though.
Yeah, that was Spike's fault.
Hey, Tate, stop it. Tasty Kate, give us somebody who had a very short but high peak.
Well, Spike, if I may, I told Jack an athlete, but then you said I could go other than athlete.
Yes?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
To me, because he was unbelievable, Andrew Dice Clay.
That's a good one, and I'm a Dice guy. I did see Dice at the Spectrum.
Dice been around for a while, though.
Yeah, so the thing is...
He changed, like, he was selling out arenas.
He was.
He was the first comic to sell out arenas.
Yep, sell out Madison Square Garden. He was the first one.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tasty Cake. He has had a long career.
Well, you're saying but at his peak was short-lived. Yeah.
It was a sensation. My uncle Eric took me to see Dice. I think I was 14. I forget the year that he played the Spectrum, but it was pretty awesome. The peak of Dice was pretty awesome.
By the way, the movie's The Good Son.
Is that what I'm thinking of?
Yes.
The Good Son.
With Elijah Wood. Elijah Wood,
yes,
I think, is in that
yes,
as well.
It was two kids. One was adopted. And yes. Okay.
There you go.
I see. What a memory, man. It's
still there.
I remember bits and pieces of stuff, man.
Well, this show is dynamite. It pieces together most of the story.
Yes. Yeah. Between the three of us.
Yeah, we can get sort of the full story there.
Between the
Twitter
three of
us out.
And Twitter and the callers, we'll come up with almost any answer. Yep. All right. Coming up next, Nick Nurse did talk about whether Joel Embiid re-injured his knee, and he gave a sort of... I don't know. If he answer, we will play
that's
that.
That's one way to describe it.
Yeah, we will play that for you next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike Spike.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And Fritz. Hurt you. Rick Astley's a good one. I don't know how bright he shined, but this was his only hit.
Well,
for
is
sure.
A double meaning for this. Obviously, you're never going to give up on the Sixers.
Oh, and a short peak.
And he also took over YouTube for those, 2 years and in the middle 2000s?
Yes.
Every video you clicked on, it was...
Getting Rickrolled?
Rick Astley.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, oh, you were too busy playing in the NFL. I was in elementary school, so it was a big deal.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. The Mark's half-off event is going on now. Get a jump on the holiday shopping season for half-off. Get all the details at marks-jewelers.com. Are you ready to throw in the towel on the Joel Embiid era of the Sixers, or do you still have hope? That is the question. Throw in the towel or still have hope?
On opening night, by the way.
Ike, what do you think the response is to this? Ready to throw in the towel on the Embiid era or still have hope?
Oh, they're ready to throw in the towel, brother.
What do you think the percentages are?
70%.
57%.
Okay. Not bad. Almost 50-50.
Yeah.
You expect it to be worse or better?
I don't know. I just know that, boy, throwing in the towel on a guy that's won an MVP, it was runner-up twice. I get it. I understand it. But it really gives you a peek into the frustration and mindset of where people are.
That's exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I know exactly what you mean.
215-592-9494. Noel in Boston, you're on WIP. What's up, Noel?
How you doing, guys?
What up, Noel?
On my way back down to Philly. Last time I talked to you, I was on my way to Boston from Philly. So Spike, I think I'm in the camp of throwing in the towel, and only because I think it's time that the focus of this team shift towards Maxey. We've had 10 years of Joel, and when he's healthy and he's at the top of his game, he's great. But 10 years and we've never gotten past the second round, I'm tired of the flopping, looking for calls from referees. I just don't think he has that Jordan gene, that Kobe gene, that LeBron gene. He doesn't have that. If he did, he'd dedicate himself in the offseason to getting in shape. I mean, look what AJ did this offseason. He's top five, maybe top three in his position in the NFL, and he worked his ass off in the offseason to get faster, to be better. And we haven't seen Joel do that. I mean, if it hasn't happened by now, it's not going to happen. And I don't think his knees are strong enough for him to make that leap now.
Let me ask you this, Noel, with all due respect to your position, and I get it, can you think of a couple NBA teams who have won championships building around a 6-foot guard?
No,
it's only one.
Yeah, maybe
he's 6'3".
Maybe building around is wrong, but I don't think Embiid is going to be the. I just don't think it's going to happen with him, and that's the only reason why I'm saying give up, because.
I think my thing though, Noel, is it's not going to happen without him either. Is that the small chance that it happens with him is better to me than the chance that it happens without him? Because
I agree with you there.
Because if you trade him, then you need another top seven player in the NBA to replace him.
At minimum.
Yeah, and I don't know where that's coming from, unless it comes from the draft or something, and which means we're waiting again, right? We're going through another, and I remember what people were like during the rebuilding era of the Sixers, and my fear is that if you do the thing with Maxey, the thing that you're talking about, we end up a lot closer to the 2011 Sixers than you would imagine. You know, the 2011 Sixers who won 43 games or whatever they won,
right.
44 games, and we're stuck in this middle ground for however long we are.
Yeah, what we used to call it, purgatory.
Purgatory.
Purgatory. So what do you guys think, though, not playing against Milwaukee on opening night, if there's nothing wrong with him, if he's not going to play the first three games, if Boston wins three, Milwaukee wins their first three, then we're fighting an uphill battle all the way. And let's face it, we're not beating Boston. Boston plays the way they played last night.
Ooh-wee.
We're not beating Boston. So, so now we're into next year.
Well, but hold on. But, Noel, everybody does that. Everyone said nobody was going to beat Golden State, and Golden State lost to Cleveland, and then Golden State lost in Toronto. Last year, everybody said nobody was beating Denver, and Denver didn't even get to the finals. And we're all saying nobody's
stuff
beating...
Stuff happens, you're right.
Yeah. We're all saying nobody's beating Boston. A month before nobody was going to beat Boston, everybody just expected Boston to choke. So there haven't been a lot of repeat champions in the NBA over the last 15 years. It's really just been the Warriors. So I understand all that you're saying. I'm not giving the title to Boston. Boston's awesome, but
they're like a bigger version of the Warriors.
Yes, without a Steph. They don't have a Steph.
Right. They don't even need it because I think they got more shooters than the Warriors had.
Yeah, they're pretty intimidating when they're hitting shots, even when they're not hitting shots. Noel, give us somebody whose star burned very short but very bright.
All right, I don't know if I have his name right, but Jason Lynn, shooting guard for the Knicks.
It's close.
Very close. Jeremy Lynn.
Yes,
Jeremy Lynn.
Yes.
Jeremy Lynn. Had that hot season.
Yes.
Shot the lights out, got himself a big contract, and never heard from him.
Yeah. Insanity.
Yeah, he ended up on the Rockets with Maury. Ended up stealing him away.
Yep.
And the Knicks got rid of him because Carmelo didn't like that somebody else was famous.
Yeah.
Linsanity was one of the coolest basketball moments of my whole life. I loved the Linsanity.
It was a great story. We went to Yale. Where did he go?
Harvard. He went to Harvard.
Harvard.
Yeah.
I knew he was an Ivy League kid. Two things. The Dodgers won the World Series
in
81.
Yeah, what we did.
We got to make sure we put this stuff back out
We're back out there,
Thank you for everybody that tweeted us that the Dodgers did win the series in 81 over the Yankees. By the way, I'm picking the Dodgers to win this series again.
Okay.
Picking the Dodgers to win the World Series. What else was I going to say?
We got the Macaulay Culkin thing out of the way.
No, it was something on basketball. I forgot it.
I don't know. Jeremy Lin?
Well, he did torch Kobe.
He did.
Nobody torches Kobe.
It was that game and the Raptors game. No. Those two games, those two wins were awesome. He torched Kobe.
Man, nobody torches Kobe, man.
Kind of torched Kobe. No disrespect.
Well, I mean, he scored.
Yeah,
he scored. You got to get happy.
Yeah.
It's all good. No disrespect.
That was awesome. I watched, there's a Jeremy Lin short, 30 for 30.
Oh, yeah.
And just reliving that, because I remember where I was when I watched those games. I don't know. He was like, Nick Foles is like if Jeremy Lin won a championship. It's like kind of like what Nick Foles is like, is that he did his stuff in the playoffs rather than in the regular season.
It was New York, and they pumped it up.
They did.
Because if he had been in another city, that would not have been as big of a deal.
No, and he had the perfect coach at the time.
Who was the coach?
It was Mike D'Antoni.
Oh, that's right. You're right. Oh, I know what I was going to say.
What?
You brought up Melo.
Yes.
The Nuggets.
Yes.
It did Melo wrong by giving his number away to Jokic.
Jokic wears Melo's number?
Yeah. And that's why Melo, they can't retire.
Well, but Melo.
I know he wanted out.
Did the organization wrong.
I get that. Okay. I understand that. I'm just saying, but you don't give away his number immediately unless.
Yes.
Just like the Giants gave away Saquon's number immediately. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Organizations do that when they're trying to be like, okay, you want it out of here?
Yeah, I want to make a point. Yeah,
in fairness, Melo, you can't be crying about it now, bro.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, is he crying about it?
Oh, yeah. He's.
Come on, man. That's on you.
Yeah, I thought about that when you said Melo with the Knicks, yeah.
Todd in Mount Laurel, you're on WIP. What's up, Todd?
What's up, Mike? What's up, guys? Spike, everybody.
What up, Todd?
I got to disagree, man. It's time to cut and burn with Joel. And this is the reason why my rationale, for all the things that Ike, you were saying about, hey, we've tried it, several different ways. We might as well look at trying to sit them and rest them and everything. Mm-hmm. Do you trust Embiid to stay in shape?
No.
And that's
I can't lie about it. Like, no, no.
And that's the catch 22, right? You try to rest him. It takes him time to get ramped back up because he's not staying in shape. If you play him, then it's like his body because of the size. And the very things that are his positives of being very athletic at 7'2", I believe actually because his body, especially his knees, aren't able to handle that on a long-term basis is the reason why you got to get rid of him. Because he's never going to be there for you in the long run. And then if you try to sit him and rest him and do all that, managing of his time, he doesn't stay in shape. So, you know what I mean? So when you need him,
here's what I'm hoping for, Todd. And I'm not – and I knew this coming in today. I'm disarmed. I don't have a lot in the whole defense bucket for Joel Embiid other than the fact – that I love him as a player. I'm a big fan of his. I want to see him win. So all I'm doing, Todd, is hoping that we get a Toronto Raptors year. That's all I can hope for. Like, hell, Kawhi even left Toronto after winning the title. But do you think Toronto cares? Like, they have their world championship.
And by the way, before it happened for Toronto, they kept getting shut down. They choked every year, and they made one. And
they had good teams, and they couldn't get out of the second round.
And it happened. And Todd, understanding everything that you said, I think the other part of getting rid of him is then what do you have? So it's very easy to say it's not going to happen with him. Mm-hmm. What's a lot harder is to say, okay, well, then how are we getting there without him? Because you're essentially starting over. You end up with a team that, if you just take him off the team, let's say you trade him for draft picks, this team wins 44 games, something like that, and you're right there.
By the way, you're trading Paul George in a year.
Yes, because he's not going to want to be here.
He's not going to want to be here either.
So I guess the reason that I want to see it through, Todd, is because in my head, we will know in 2 years whether this is going to work or not work. And I'd rather just spend these 2 years taking a chance on it than taking a chance on something that I have even less confidence in working out.
No, I got you guys. Hey, my two one-hit wonders. Or
you only give, you, well,
give
we
me
only
best.
Take
give
one.
Me the best.
Yeah, we only take one.
Oh, all right. Then I'll give the people's champion, Freddie Mitchell, 4th and 26.
That's all right. Barely qualifies, I think. But he did have a moment.
First round draft pick.
Yep.
Thank me for my thing. I thank my hands.
Yes.
Right?
You had that? I remember that. Yeah, I remember thanking his hands.
Well, and he caught the bomb from Donovan.
Caught the in Dallas. Yep.
That's a big moment.
He had a, it was it the Minnesota playoff game? He had a good game. He scored a couple touchdowns. That's where he did the whole, I want to thank my hands.
And winner.
Yeah.
God. We will give you Nick Nurse. Well, go ahead. What are you going to say?
No, I was going to say, man, Freddie. I played golf with Freddie this summer.
How's he doing? All right.
He's around. Yeah, yeah. He's here. He's in and out of town.
Yeah.
Freddie Mitchell.
Yeah. I'm sure he likes getting recognized around the area. You know, he's a guy
Fred
that doesn't mind when the beer is bought for him when he walks into a bar.
Well, and he was short on 4th and 26.
He was short.
We got to get into that with Donovan on Monday.
If there was a replay.
Yeah.
If there's a replay review, he's short.
We will play you what Nick Nurse said about Joel Embiid's injury or non-injury right after I tell you about where you're getting your car. You know where I'm going to tell you to go. I'm going to tell you Colonial Hyundai of Downingtown. It's spooky season. It's October. Halloween's next week. So Colonial Hyundai of Downingtown is going to help you ghost your ride. John Ashdale is the car czar. His staff at Colonial, amazing. They've got a whole lot full of 2024 Hyundais that need to disappear like a ghost in the night. Over 200 on the lot. They got Elantras, Konas, Tucson, Santa Fe, 0% financing for 60 months. And good that piece of junk you're driving now, if it is a piece of junk, don't worry about what you're going to get in trade because they're going to give you $6,500 guaranteed no matter what condition it's in. I don't care if you have to push it over to Colonial. And when you drive away with one of those new 2024 Hyundais, you're going to get Hyundai Assurance and America's Best Warranty, a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Ghost your ride. Get a new car over at Colonial online 24/7, ColonialHyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the faster, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. See dealer for full details. So Nick Nurse looked visibly irritated answering these questions. He should call Brett Brown and learn how to repeatedly answer questions you either don't want to answer or don't have the answer for. Here's what he said regarding Embiid.
Nick, I think to that point, when people hear you guys have a plan, they think of those things like not playing back-to-backs, resting in the middle of the season. But without any kind of setback, and we're saying he's on schedule throughout the preseason, how do we square that he's not ready to just play games? We're just trying to figure out. Because it's not like the regular season opener snuck up on you guys.
Yeah, I don't know what to say to you, right? He's in practice. He's looking good. He's progressing. He's not quite ready yet. He'll be ready pretty soon. I don't know what else to say to you. Okay?
Well, I mean the thing that he sounded frustrated. So some people have said that it sounds like he's hiding something. To me, it sounds like the thing that he's hiding is they knew this 2 weeks ago and they didn't say anything.
Right.
I mean, because I think the real answer is we've known for a while he wasn't going to be ready in time. He's not scrimmaging. He's not playing preseason games. We did everything but say it, which they should have done. They should have just said it. He just sounds irritated because he doesn't have an answer about when he's going to play. And it's true. The opening game did not sneak up on them.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think it's – I know some people think they're hiding an injury. I don't think they're hiding an injury. I've been wrong before, but I don't think that's what it is. I think they just made a mistake in telling people where he was actually at. Made a mistake in where he was at, in knowing, made a mistake in being clear about it.
So, okay. They've also made a mistake in anticipating people's interest in this and their reaction to it.
Yep.
Because to not have some sort of stocked answer, knowing that this question was going to come up today, I'm a little surprised. Like, that made it worse, quite frankly. Like, that made it worse, not having an answer for what this is all about and just having something there that you can be like, hey, this is what, he's not, Nick is catching a stray here. Not Nick Sirianni.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like
he's a good talker.
Come on, man. Yeah, he's won a championship. He's been in front of the media. He knows how to answer questions. When
poor thing,
once I know, man, my bad, coach. I didn't even mean to do that. I couldn't give out
enough. I make taco soup sometimes for my family. Man,
see, that's what it opens you up for. Stupid stuff like that. You have to admit though, Spike, with that, when you can't, when it's harder to explain something, it means you're hiding something.
Yeah.
Right? I always say, and I'm not saying he's lying. I always say, though, if something doesn't make sense to me, then it's not true. It can't be true. Like, even if I don't like what I'm hearing, it would at least make sense to me why it's happening.
With all due respect to the PR team at the Sixers and the media team at the Sixers, who have always the nice people, they, and I think part of it is Joel's fault. In that I don't think Joel wants information out about his injuries. I think all the times where we've not known he's going to play, I don't think they were always prepared for that. All that said, this one is a layup. You said it correctly. First, you needed to say something a couple weeks ago. You didn't. Okay, screwed that up, weren't allowed to. To send out a text message like they sent out, Joel Embiid is not only not going to play tomorrow or Wednesday, tonight, he's not going to play throughout the rest of the week. They have to be prepared for those answers.
Yeah.
They have to be prepared for why didn't you tell us before? They have to be prepared for did he re-injure himself? Mm-hmm. They have to be prepared for all of those things.
Yes.
And they just seem completely shocked every time it happens. And I almost, when I say publicly, I think I tweeted last week, if Joel is not going to play in the opener, which I didn't think he was, the Sixers should get ahead of this and say something. I almost am trying to tell them without...
Oh, believe me. I know what that's like.
Yes, without telling them how to do their jobs directly.
Yes.
I'm already... If anybody knows how Sixers fans are going to react to stuff, it is me. Mm-hmm. I know. And I almost trying to tell them, guys, this... I know you're going to tell everybody the day before the game, and it's going to make everybody think that you're lying, and that's exactly what they did.
And the worst thing is the whole, they hit it because they want to sell tickets tonight.
If that's the reason,
like, that's the worst. You can't do that to this fan base, man.
No. And
this is a loyal fan base to that team.
And in the end, you're going to hurt yourself selling tickets to whatever the next game is.
Yep.
Because you've made everybody mad, mm-hmm. and now people who bought tickets for tonight, which if they had known 2 weeks ago, it could have... Now, if you tell them 2 weeks ago, somebody who bought tickets is not going to get as much to sell them. That's a whole other problem. Mm-hmm. But doing it to people the day before when you knew in advance is stupid. It's just like... It's disrespectful to the fans. It is tone deaf. It with all we've all been through with this particular franchise and this particular player with injury stuff, you just had to know how people were going to react.
Yeah.
And him not being prepared for it is also a mistake. He has to be prepared for it. Even if he gives you a prepared statement and says,
yeah.
I'm going to tell you once. I'm not going to take any more questions on it. Here's where he is. Here's where we knew he was. And here's when we think he might play. So, Andy in Westchester, you're on WIP. What's up, Andy?
Hello.
Hello.
Make sure I'm following the rules.
Oh, all three of us then.
What's up, Andy?
So, yes, hello to all three of us.
Okay, all right, sounds good.
So you mentioned, actually, before we get into Joel, you mentioned you're going to do Insider of the Year. And I hear callers, I pretty much listen all day. It's like, you know, Dominic, Drew, all these different guys, me calling from Westchester. How about 2025 Jack Fritz Insider of the Year?
I like this.
What is he going to do?
Eagles Insider of the Year?
No, Jack Fritz Insider of the Year in Westchester.
Oh,
no.
You want to be
Jack Fritz Insider. He's going to...
Oh.
This is kind of terrifying.
Yeah, what do you have?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. 2025. Let's get on it.
He's saying he's out there in Westchester. Yes. He's about to start following Jack.
Oh, awesome. You
got all sorts of people out here.
Well, Jack.
I got feelers everywhere.
Yeah, listen. I was outside with Walker the other day. I was at my house and, you know, love the show.
Yeah. Like, what you got to realize, great. Jack, one thing I've learned over the years is that, and Ike's been in the same neighborhood for a long time, so knows, I assume you know, yes, most of your neighbors.
And he's bought off local politicians.
Yes, he has bought off local politicians. What I've learned in the neighborhoods that I've lived in is that even if you don't talk to the people in the neighborhood, they know.
Oh, yes.
So, yes. Jack, all the people that live around you,
yeah,
not everyone,
are,
they
yeah.
know who you are.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you got to be careful.
You got the big Jack Fritz on your mailbox.
Yeah, there's a big, like, hey, you know he's down the street. It's no big deal. Listen, when you're the king of Westchester, it's not that big of a deal. That's why I moved back there. Big fish in a little pond.
Yeah. Jack wants privacy, but he put out the High Hopes
right.
podcast logo
yes,
on his mailbox.
His lawn,
yeah.
Yes.
Jack
got a J and the F on his lawn.
Yeah, he's like Beetlejuice. It just says Jack Fritz lives here with neon sign above the house. Andy, how are you feeling about Joel? You want to see it through, or do you want to give up?
Yeah, I mean, I'm one of the idiots that actually watch through the process. So yeah, I got to see it through. I'm wondering this whole thing that's going on. I was thinking about it, and I'm wondering if they're holding him back because they want to run him out with Paul George for the first time. They don't want to send him out separately.
No. That's not
well,
it.
I hope that's not the case because that could be another week or two.
Yeah, that's not it. Maybe I'm dumb. I truly believe they just don't think he is physically where they want him to be to start the season. And everyone says, well, he played in the Olympics. Playing in the Olympics for 2 weeks while you're playing 15 minutes a game is just a different thing than going into the grind of an NBA season. And if he didn't hurt himself in the Olympics, let's say he didn't, I do think it's possible. And this is a fine pushback against the Olympics. I do think it's possible that after the Olympics, he needed weeks to rest after putting his knee through that without rehabbing the way that you would rehab for a season. Because he wanted to play badly.
Yeah.
And we had, you know, Chuck was saying yesterday he's selfish for it. I still don't have a problem with him playing in the Olympics, but it is what it is. Andy, give us somebody whose stars shine very bright but very short.
Okay, I'm not sure that I'm right on this because I was young, but it seems like it. What about Spud Webb?
It was a moment.
Yeah, here's why I think it's a good answer. Now, Spud Webb had a career.
He did.
But his peak was the dunk contest.
Yes.
So, and that's when he sort of jumped into the national spotlight and became somewhat of a little hero for all the 5 foot. The under 6 foot guys.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, when we say short peak, we're not talking about their physical appearance.
No.
Right?
No. It just fits with him.
Yes.
Yes. Because he was, I think Spud was 5'7".
He was little.
Yeah, I think he was 5'7". But
it's
yeah.
Like Kevin Marks out there trying to.
The dunk contest was the height of his career.
And that's when the dunk contest was something.
Oh, yeah.
It made stars.
Yeah.
You remember?
80s? Oh, yeah.
D. Brown in the 90s?
Yes, sir.
D. Brown
early
had
90s.
A moment, had those pumps.
Yeah.
Remember he pumped up the shoes before he dunked it? D.
That
Brown.
Fraud Nate Robinson, who stole the.
Stole it from Iguodala.
Yeah. Shout out to Nate and everything he's
sick.
Going through. But
he's sick. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jackson.
A couple things he should not be remembered for.
Yeah.
Those dunk contests.
No.
And boxing.
Yeah.
Yes, was not a great boxer.
Didn't know he was sick. I was mad about the.
No,
the
we get it. We get it. No, we get it. Yeah, yeah.
He still sold it.
Yeah, exactly. Still didn't deserve to win it.
Sick or not sick, I yes. still don't know how Iguodala dunked that ball running under the backboard from
one
behind
of
the backboard.
Dunks,
I've never seen a dunk. That's probably the best. One of the best dunk
contest
dunks I've ever seen.
Oh, it's a top 10
dunk
of all time. Yeah, for sure.
Because you watch it over and over again, and I still don't know how he did it. You know, I don't know how he pulled it off.
Dude, young Iggy, man.
Oh.
Come on, man. I used to battle with Anthony about Iguodala and Thad Young. He loved Thad Young. I was an Iggy guy, man.
That's what made LeBron's chase down block on him so impressive.
Oh, get out of here with that nonsense.
Yeah. All right, coming up next.
And young Iggy, man, was
he was something
was
else.
Super athletic.
Physically something
the
Flight else.
Brothers, when they used to throw, was he the Flight Brothers or was that Larry Hughes?
That was Larry Hughes.
That was Larry Hughes?
Yeah.
AI throwing it up there to Iguodala, man.
Yeah. But then he had the mistake of having the same initials as Iverson.
Yeah.
And then they traded Iverson.
Yeah, they tried. I'm like, no, he's not.
I'm happy Iggy ended up on the Warriors exactly where he should be, the role he should be, and ended up,
I wish I had time to tell you.
What?
I played golf with Iggy one time.
Yeah.
This was his last year here. This was the year. Remember, he skipped the exit meetings that summer. Well, you're talking about 18 holes and hearing about Doug Collins?
Oh, he hated Doug Collins.
Oh, boy, that was awesome.
Dude, Doug Collins.
That was awesome.
When that team was falling apart, Doug Collins took all the reporters to the side and basically blamed Iguodala to all of the reporters.
Yes.
Just a total.
Yes, he tried to bury him.
He's a loser.
When it was him, it was Doug who needed to be buried, not Iguodala.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next, we will continue to talk about Embiid. Do you want to see it through? Are you ready to cut bait with Joel Embiid? And we're going to do, now that we're closing in on the trade deadline, it looks like there's some, you know, there have been some great receivers traded. There are a couple more on the trading block.
Coop!
We're just going to do a little, hey, how did Howie do this offseason? Just look at Howie's offseason moves and the position to put them in now, especially considering the players that are available. We'll talk about that next, too. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.